It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. Good morning, everybody. A very happy Friday to you. James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent as always. They sponsor the program, and we appreciate them so very much. We'll get to the Kings' loss to the Grizzlies. 115-110, the final there. We got 49ers this weekend. We got Raiders-Buccaneers this weekend. And an awesome Thursday night football game last night. Just real quick, because I opened the show yesterday complaining about the white elephant gift exchange situation here at the station. I would like to provide an update.
There is an update.
Because it didn't get better for your boy last night. So if you missed it yesterday, our office Christmas party was last night. Had a great time.
Yes.
And there was on the flyer, there was a thing that said, bring a gift if you would like to participate in the White Elephant gift exchange. Keep it between 20 and 25 bucks. Bet. You got it. So I bought a sick-ass rice cooker, was fired up about it. I was like, this is a great White Elephant gift. It turns out me and Justin Case from 96.9 The Eagle, salute to Justin Case, were the only people that brought presents. Oh, and Lisa, who does a separate job for us. Here at Odyssey Sacramento and a couple other Odyssey locations. She's great. Also brought a white elephant gift, but she doesn't work here in the office. So Justin and I decided to exchange our gifts just between the two of us. I give him my white elephant gift and he gives me his. His white elephant gift was these fire logs that smell like KFC.
That is incredible.
I'm so excited about this.
KFC fire logs.
So that's how that was resolved. Fired up. Can't wait to literally fired up. Can't wait to burn those in the fireplace at the crib. The other thing that happened, we did our white elephant gift exchange. And what happened was I believe members of our promotions team and members of the sales team.
I don't know who went out and bought all the
white elephant. Some people went out and bought like 50 white elephant gifts.
Yeah.
Gift cards.
I think
random,
I got
like,
Lisa's
clothespin. You did. Lisa just brought hers because nobody informed her that we weren't doing that.
Yeah.
So you got Lisa's, which is dope.
Yep.
Great gift. Great white elephant gift from Lisa.
Yeah.
Is it like metal straws, a drink mixer?
And fragile napkins.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Excellent. So like little cocktail napkins.
Yeah, cocktail napkins.
Super dope.
With the leg from Christmas Story. I mean,
right.
Yeah, from Christmas Story.
Yeah. Overrated movie. it is. So I forget what. Oh, I got the Corgi pizza cutter.
Yes, which everyone in the entire building wanted.
Like a little jealous of. But Gavin from the wake up call actually wanted it.
Yeah.
And so when he got his gift stolen, he was like, hey, I want your pizza cutter. Well, somebody had opened, Malia, I believe is her name. I know it's her name. Malia from sales had opened this Harry Potter Lego set.
Yep.
If you know me, you know I love me some Harry Potter. Also love Lego. We have a perfect spot for it in the house. She was like trying to get people to take it. Like she's not a fan. And so I went up after I got my Corgi thing stolen and I went, hey, I would like your Legos. Bang, bang. It's me. We go through the rest of the night. We're finished up. D'Lo and KC are last. They go. I think it's done. All of a sudden, I text my wife. I'm like, hey, check out what I got. We got the perfect spot for it. We just set up our little, like, upstairs. We have this little nook with all our Harry Potter photos from when we went to the studio tour in London, the wands we got from Universal Studios, and we have the Lego Mandrake, which is the, like, screaming plant from Harry Potter. And then this. What I allegedly had. And I was like, this is going to go perfect. It was the car, the flying car. And I text her and I'm like, can't wait to do this weekend. This is going to be so fun. And all of a sudden, John from sales comes up. And it turns out the stealing was still going on. And I got my Lego swiped.
Ugh.
Right out from under my nose.
Brutal.
Just horrible.
The look on your face was like, when you go to Christmas at like your cousin's house, like when I was little, right?
Okay.
We went to my cousin's house, and like at that point I was too young to understand like the disparity in how much money my aunt and uncle had versus how much my parents had. So we went to their house. We stayed at their house for Christmas. We woke up Christmas morning, all excited to go get our gifts. Sitting in my aunt and uncle's living room is a sports car go-kart that was about 10 feet long.
Oh, my God.
Full-fledged sports car. Incredible. Like,
so
a
sick.
Steering wheel. Like, it looked like a car. I mean, it must have been, even back in the 80s, like, I don't know, $2,500?
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that you would see normally.
Sure.
I don't even see them this cool now. Me and my brother wake up, we're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that was my cousin's. We got cap guns. We got cap guns. He got that.
Oh.
So
that's brutal.
That's what the look on your face was, the look I had when I was like, I was probably 4, and I was like, oh no.
Which is a tough scene for me because you're 4. Yeah. That's the proper emotion to feel.
Yeah.
I am 34.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Legos.
But I had seen you like take a picture,
yeah,
and you send it to your wife.
Fired up.
I could tell you're sitting there, you're so excited about this, and you had already told me about your Mandrake thing, and I'm,
now here is where the shenanigans come in. So, John, keep track here. John,
yep,
had gotten you know the ring game that you play like at the bar?
Yes.
Where you try and drop the ring and get it on the hook? He had gotten that.
Okay.
Karosh stole that from John.
Okay.
By the end of the night, Karosh wanted my Lego. John wanted the ring game. So John stole the Lego from me to give to Karosh so Karosh would give John the gift back that he stole from John.
Oh, no. This is
absolute shenanigans, bro. Well, we're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about the Kings. I promise. If you're just tuning in, we've got Kings, 49ers. We got Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui coming up. We got a jam-packed show. I got to complain first. So, actually, I got to complain and then shout out the homie. So, I find out that happened, and that, like, I wasn't, because that's the game. Stuff
yes.
happens. It's Legos. I can go to Target and buy my own damn Legos.
That's right.
I was super bummed, though. I'd had a couple drinks. Like, I was, you know, I was being dramatic on purpose. But also, when I found that out, I was legit kind of salty. Like, that's shenanigans.
It was a tough look.
It's a bad look.
It was.
And John, I felt bad for how bad John felt.
Oh, yeah.
John's like, I didn't realize, because as I was giving him the Legos, people were like, dude, he's a huge Harry Potter fan. What are you doing?
I mean, you didn't go steal the Beats, like headphones. Like the earbuds. The other people stole those earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the end of the night, so you really didn't even have many options.
No, I ended up getting a nice little $25 gift card to, like, it's got a bunch of different places on it.
Okay.
But it's places I'll go. So not bad. Like,
all right.
I wind up okay. So I come in this morning. The Lego thing's a great story. I sit down, I'm working on the show. James comes in, and James sets down in front of me the Legos that got stolen from me.
That's right.
My guy. Shout out to James Hamm. Coming up big.
There we go.
My guy.
There it is.
Hell yeah. So we now have these Harry Potter Legos. James stopped at the store just to hook the homie up.
That's
with
right.
The Lego that he lost. In a gift exchange last night.
That's right.
I appreciate you so much, man. That really made my day.
I felt for
and
you.
And I needed a dub because, you know, I'm dealing. I got a flat tire yesterday. You knew I needed a dub. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate the hell out of you. That's
shout out to the good people at Target who are having to work holiday hours and are still there.
So I thought, I was shocked because we get here pretty early. So I thought you had been given this, like, Karosh or John felt bad and gave it to you.
No, I stopped it.
You stopped at Target
at
in
Target
the morning,
this morning
before the show. You left your house early to do this thing for me. That and I want to let you know I appreciate it from the very bottom of my heart. That's a very nice thing to
that's
do.
That's right.
I appreciate it.
I came in clutch.
All right.
Where the Sacramento Kings didn't last night.
Atta, babe. They sure didn't. They lost to the Memphis Grizzlies 115 to 110. Here's the deal, man. You're allowed to lose games, especially to a team like Memphis. You know what? We talked about it. Memphis is a good team. This is not a terrible team. This is not, like, Memphis is good. Going into Memphis and losing a game is not the end of the world. The reason last night bothered me, there's a few things, but the two things that jumped out to me are the two things that continue to jump out to me when the Kings lose these games. Actually, there's three things. There's a third thing I did not write down, but here's the first two. Their bench got outscored 60 to 15.
It's just not okay.
The Grizzlies bench outscored the Grizzlies starters.
Yeah, Kyle, and the problem is that, like we talked about this, the Kings had a problem with bench scoring, and that's before they took Malik Monk, their best bench scorer, and put him in the starting lineup. They were getting clubbed on almost every night with bench scoring already, and now you have this whole other situation where your best bench scorer is now your starting shooting guard, and your former starting shooting guard is now on the bench, and that's not working either. It worked one night. It doesn't work the next. Like, that's a problem. I don't see a way to fix the bench without going out and getting somebody like Malik Monk to step in and help you.
Do you think that was a mistake, putting Malik in the starting lineup?
I don't think it's... Okay, so I don't think it was a... I was on board with them not starting him this whole time because I understood the dynamic. And Mike Brown is not the only coach who's ever done this. This is a very well thought out plan to give you a dynamic person to come in and change the pace and the tempo of the game off the bench. I get it. So many coaches have done it.
Sure.
I mean, Paul Westphal not only is it something that he explained multiple times, the first head coach that I had, but it was because Paul Westphal was unbelievable off the bench and made the Hall of Fame as a bench scorer.
Yeah.
Like, he had years where he averaged over 20 points a game as a bench scorer.
Man, that's crazy.
I mean, the dude was unbelievable. And so there is this idea out there that having a guy like that on your bench is a good thing. And I totally get it. But now Mike Brown has a really difficult task of mixing and matching players and hoping that a starter or two with three or four guys can somehow come up with some magic off the bench. And the problem is, like, if you have a game on Tuesday and a game on Thursday, you can go all in on Tuesday. But when you have a game on Thursday and another one on Friday, you can't run your starters out there 42 minutes or 38 minutes to try to win a game and reduce your bench down to nothing. And so it's a really, really difficult situation that you're in. And now, like, when you press this button, Malik Monk is now your starter for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's what just happened. This is not something that you take lightly, and Mike Brown will not take it lightly, and it changed the trajectory of this team. Now they have to go find another Malik Monk, and that's not going to be simple.
Man, that's so brutal. I think the bench scoring aspect of this is... I think it's a symptom of just kind of the larger problem for Sacramento. They're just not deep enough. They just don't, like, we keep coming back to this. And in the Rockets game, you wrote it yesterday. When it works, it works. Like, it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it doesn't work, there's just not, if their fastball isn't working that day, they don't have another pitch.
Nope.
And they can get by. And this is the thing. They don't suck. Like, they're not a team that I think teams look at and go, oh, hey, good. We've got the Kings tonight. We're going to win this one. I don't think it's that. But, I mean, they just have too many good players for that. Their starting five is very good.
Yes.
But in the modern NBA, you just can't get by like that. And the fact that they're turning to, like, Jay Crowder at this point, or Isaac Jones, who's playing well, But the fact that it's like, oh, hey, this undrafted rookie is like our best bench player. That's tough.
So here's the deal, though. It's okay to have Jay Crowder. It's okay to have Isaac Jones play.
I agree.
It's okay to have Kevin Huerter. But what you have to have is the connecting piece. None of these guys are shot creators. And so last night when Mike Brown went to a full-fledged bench with Jordan McLaughlin, Jay Crowder, Isaac Jones. It wasn't Keon Ellis, but he went with like four bench players on the court at one time. They just got ran over.
Yeah. Like,
and they lost all momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lost momentum in that moment. And that's the problem. Like, you have to find, they need to go out and look for, like we talked about, to go see what the Clippers would give up for, what they would take for Bones Highland. You know, you need.
That'd be a perfect type of player.
You need somebody.
Yeah, perfect type of player.
Yeah, you need somebody else that can help out here. And that's it. Like, we keep talking about, like, this is not a complete situation. Even if you get Trey Lyles back, Trey Lyles is not that guy. Now, Devin Carter might be that guy. That might be the guy. And so we have to actually let this thing play out a little bit, but we're probably still close to a month away from seeing Devin Carter in Kings uniform. And that's, you're going to have to survive through a lot of ups and downs here. And, you know, the bench scoring is going to be a problem.
So that was one issue last night that jumped out. The other one that continues to jump out, the Kings shot 18 more field goals than Memphis. And they got outscored by 15 at the three-point line. How's this keep happening, dude?
It's every game, man.
It's just in the NBA as it is currently being played, how the sport is currently played, you cannot survive doing what the Kings do. You just can't. You cannot go out there and just pencil in, all right, hey, minus 15 at the 3-point line or worse, let's go win a game.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
We've talked about this a bunch. There has to be a way to close the gap between makes and misses and what your opponent's hitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're going to, you know, I don't think there's any way right now for the Kings to consistently hit 15 threes. But what they can't do is hit 9 or 10 and allow their opponent to hit 15.
Yes.
Because that's where this gap opens up.
Yep.
And you can't make up that scoring gap. I mean, it's just, doesn't matter how many times you get to the free throw line, how many more shots you have than the other team. It's so difficult to make up that one thing. And I, in all honesty, I know a lot of people, like even in the chat, we're seeing the fire Mike Brown stuff from Sass. Like Mike Brown, you know what he didn't do last night? He didn't go 1-for-7 from three. He didn't go 0-for-6 from three like Kevin Huerter. He didn't go 0-for-7 from three like De'Aaron Fox. And the 1-for-7 was Keegan Murray. Even, you know, Jay Crowder's 0-for-2 off the bench. Like, Mike Brown didn't shoot any of those shots.
Mm-mm.
And his offense created the same exact looks on earlier in the week, on Tuesday, and those same guys hit those shots. So yep. What are you supposed to do when your players become inconsistent at one aspect of the game?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, last time, Keegan Murray, 3-for-5, De'Aaron Fox, 4-for-6, and off the bench, Kevin Huerter, 3-for-7. So they go 10 of 18 in one night. Two nights later, they go, 1-for-20? Like, yeah. There's no way for Mike Brown to deal with that kind of variant in his offense.
Yes.
Where three of the six or seven best players on your team,
mm-hmm.
one night hit one and one night hit 10 or 11 threes. It's too much to deal with.
I see multiple people in the chat here talking about the rotations last night, how they were weird or bad. That to me is a product of what you're talking about, the inconsistency,
mm-hmm.
and B, not knowing like what is he supposed to do. That's my question. If your gripe is that Kevin Huerter was ass last night and played 25 minutes. Keon Ellis, who went from this like starting game changing shooting guard to playing 2 minutes, what the hell? Okay, I get it. That's fine. I have the same question, and we're going to talk about that. But I don't look at like who played and who didn't last night outside of the Huerter and Keon thing. I don't look at anything there and go, oh, this is a rotation problem. Like, this needs to be fixed. They need to, like, what, more Orlando Robinson? Is that what we're doing?
More Alex Len?
More, sure.
Okay.
Need more Colby Jones minutes?
Yeah.
Jordan McLaughlin need to come in sooner? I don't, like, do you see what we're getting at here? Like, the depth just isn't there.
It's just not there. And like,
that's,
look, I'll explain. Like, I haven't heard this from Mike Brown's mouth, but I will tell you that I'm pretty sure the reason why Kevin Huerter is getting this opportunity right now is because Kevin Huerter in his career has been a guy who can not only create his own shot, but he can create shots for others. And that's why he's getting an opportunity to try to be the bench scorer guy right now, as opposed to Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
And the bigger problem is that you cannot take both Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox off the court at the same time.
Yeah, you have to figure out a way to have one of them on the floor.
Yeah, and you certainly can't do that and take Domantas Sabonis off the floor. It's not going to work. So whatever 3-minute segment that is of the game, just go look at that segment, and I guarantee you the Kings lost by 8, 6, lost all momentum. And it's not an accusation or an indictment on the players that are on the court. It's just not who they are.
No.
It's not. You know, Kevin Huerter as a catch and shoot 3-point shooter is much more efficient than Kevin Huerter trying to create for himself and others and pulling up from 18 feet or trying to get to the basket or doing a off the dribble three. That's not his game. So if you don't have a natural setup man with him, you're going to have problems. And that's where they're at. They need one more piece, maybe two more pieces to sort of fill the void here. And that piece, it's not Trey Lyles. Like, when Trey Lyles is back, that's not the piece that they're missing. He's another guy like Kevin Huerter, like Keon Ellis, like Jay Crowder, like Isaac Jones, that are totally dependent on a point guard setting them up for their baskets.
Yeah.
They're not true shot creators. And if there is one guy who has any potential as a shot creator, it's straight up Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem, and that's why he's getting 25 minutes, and it's why Keon Ellis is not playing right now, because you can't just overload the whole entire court with non-shot makers, with non-shot creators.
Sure.
And it's tough.
And that's miscasting Kevin Huerter. Like, as that, as your scorer off the bench?
Yeah, you're just hoping that Kevin Huerter can wake up out of his shell, and you know, again, Kevin Huerter is a guy who's averaged 3.5 assists a game, 3.8 assists per game. Like, he's a guy who has in the past been able to be a true setup guy, a secondary ball handler in a starting lineup.
I want to get to this from the Chatty House, and then I have some stats for you. The third thing that bothered me from last night, High Times KG said it. So if they can't consistently make threes, then season over. If they're going to not make them and then also not defend them, Yeah. The season's done. You're not going to go where you want to go in the modern NBA if you're not making threes and also not defending threes.
No.
That's a huge problem.
That's it. Like, you have two choices here. You got to either go find players that will hit more threes, or you've got to defend. You have to change your system to defend the three better.
Here's my... Where why can't I find the game from last night? There it is. Okay, here's the other third thing that jumped out to me. The Kings had 19 assists last night. Not a good number. The Kings under Mike Brown, this is Mike Brown's entire tenure, when they have 23 or more assists, they are 97-59. That is a .622 winning percentage.
Okay.
That's a good number. When they have 22 or fewer assists, they are 7-24. That is a .225 winning percentage. They have this year already, they have 8 games with 22 or fewer assists, and they've lost all of them. They had 10 of those games all of last year. And they have 8 already this year.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Part of it is that they're not hitting 3-point shots.
Sure.
So in those games, you're losing 3, 4, 5 assists off of wide open missed 3-point shots. But it's not the only problem. It's one of the reasons why you're having this variance, but that's outrageous. Like, this team, it should be a great passing team. And when that happens, when the ball gets sticky, run the ball through Sabonis every single time.
I don't know why they don't.
It's like
it's his superpower, dude.
They're trying to mix it up.
He is an awesome player when you give him the ball in the high post, give him the ball at the top of the key, and let him go to work. That is your, outside of the like incredible one-on-one scoring of a DeMar DeRozan or a De'Aaron Fox, your best offensive asset is Sabonis with the ball and players moving around him.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they never do that anymore. You see some dribble handoff stuff, it's there, but just the, hey, Sabonis is the offensive hub. That was the whole thing. And it's just, it feels like the 22-23 season, it was at its peak, and since then, it's just slowly declined, and especially late in a game, with 30 seconds left, if you need to go ISO score, okay, fine. Well, 5 minutes left in a tight game, you shouldn't be going away from your offense. In fact, that to me is the point where, hey, number 11 should probably have the ball a lot here.
Yep.
Let him orchestrate all this. And great. That I would love that. I don't know why they don't do it.
I don't know why they don't either. And
it makes no sense to me, man.
I do know, like, Sabonis very specifically, like, he's like every other player. They don't call play sets as a running down the court. The team plays into whatever sequence they want to play into. They don't call plays because the idea is to push the tempo. And if there is a play that they want to run a couple of times, they'll call a timeout and say, hey, let's throw this into the mix. And it's like, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're doing all the time. Yeah, it's just the team is not playing well. They're not consistent at all right now. And that's the other thing you'll keep hearing. You'll hear consistency be the word of the season at this point. And from just like we were just talking about, one night you got guys that are hitting, you know, 10 or 11 threes, and the next night they combine to hit one. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you just can't have that. At the NBA level, if you can't,
that's it.
You know, it's okay for a guy to have a variance of whether he's going to go 3 for 7 or 4 for 7, or every once in a while he's going to go 2 for 7 from three. But when it's either 3 for 5 or 0 for 7 or 1 for 7, mm-hmm. like that, there's no way to game plan for that.
No.
So it's tough. They got to figure it out.
Yep. That's kind of, that is the theme. Got to knock down your shots, man. Got
to. Hit your shots. It's a make or miss league. How many times have we heard that line?
My bit used to be that I made that up.
Oh.
I always say, you know, I thought hard about this. It is a make or miss league.
You're like, what was it, Brian from NBC Sports that came up with Splash Brothers?
Boy. Hey.
I think
you
he's
didn't
got
know
that.
You can ask him about it.
I think he's got that tattooed.
Right here
invented
on his neck. Every time a Splash Brothers thing quote tweet.
Yep.
I made this up. Shout out to you, Brian. You did it, bro.
There you go.
I like that guy. All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui. That's right. We're talking Canes, but we have fantasy football. I know we got fantasy football playoffs coming up for a lot of people. I know some leagues playoffs start this week. That feels a little early to me. But we got fantasy football playoffs coming up. You want to get your questions in now. This segment is for you at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, or call the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. You can ask Faraz your fantasy football questions. We're getting you ready for the postseason on a Fantasy Friday, next on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it's 10:30 on a Friday. You know what that means. It's Fantasy Friday. Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now, getting you ready for your fantasy football playoffs. Hopefully getting you ready for your fantasy football playoffs. Send your questions for Faraz to youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Hop in the chatty house, fire away with your questions, and we will do our best to answer all of them. Faraz, hello. Thank you for hopping in. Sorry we're a little late today. I want to run something by you that's not, it's fantasy related, but it has nothing to do with like getting people to the playoffs. I just thought this was a really funny thing. And it turns out James did almost exactly the same thing. So I just want your thoughts on this. Did you see the thing online about the fantasy football player who was inactive, like hadn't done his team since the draft, hadn't touched him? He was 2-11, and then drops all of his free agent auction money on Isaac Arendo to swoop him from playoff teams. How do we feel about this? Fair or foul?
Who is inactive now?
Yeah.
I honestly loved it. I absolutely loved it. Listen, I know, you know, there is an unwritten rule where it's like, all right, you know what? If you're out of contention, maybe you just stay out of it, right? Mm-hmm. But in this scenario, I love it, honestly. Unless there's a rule, you know, that says like, hey, like if you're out of the playoffs, you know, you can't pick up anybody mm-hmm. off of waivers. But playoffs didn't start yet, number one, okay? And, you know, they're still playing, right? They're still part of the league. This is still week 14. Okay, I understand after week 15, the playoffs get set, right? And just those teams can make transactions. Sure, totally get that. Unless the consolation bracket means something, at which point, if you choose to have your consolation bracket mean something, then they're also eligible to pick up players too, right? Like,
yeah.
It depends on how you run your league, right? Maybe not. Sure. It depends. But no, I personally, like, I like this. The fact that, you know, they were too. Saving up all their fab, they didn't care about the league at all, and then they ended up just dropping it on the league. Maybe I like it because it's so funny. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm into it. If this happened in my league, would I be upset? It depends how much fab I have left. You know what I'm saying? But listen, the fab is allocated throughout your entire league. Okay, you spent it all year long. And there was always that one guy who had like $100 left and $95 left.
Yep.
95% of the fab left. And listen, they can do what they want with it. So I think this is fair, not foul.
So this is exactly what happened in my league too. I'm four.
I had no idea when I was informing James about this. He's like, oh, I did that.
No, I'm 4-9. We've had a horrible season. We've had bad beats in like 5 weeks where it was like we were right there and then something bad happened. And so I looked and we had $77 left of our 100, and we were active all year, but we don't always. I like to do late waiver trades, waiver pickups, so people can't pick them up after me. So, like, I'll waive somebody on Saturday night, and then it's got like the 48-hour hold, yep. And so that player might be available for me if I want to pick him back up on Tuesday. So I don't always use my cash that way, but. Grendo's sitting there, and I'm like, I told my son, hey, we're gonna throw all $77, and he made a joke. He goes, well, how about we just we throw $69 at him? And I said, nice. And then I said, no, we're gonna put it all in. He goes, okay. And you know what else happened in our league? The guy who was also 4-9 also bid on him, and he only had $72, and we outbid him 77-72, and we got Grendo.
Nice.
Love it.
Win a couple games down the stretch.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great moment, right, between you and your son. Specifically, yep.
Just classic father-son bonding.
High five.
It's so good.
Yeah, we nice. Also, we get 20, but we have weekly winners that are $20 weekly winners, and we run it all the way through the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. See, so that, that makes, that is so like, then yes, you're playing for Very money good. Every single week.
Yep.
I love that. Shout out to you, man. All right.
100%. Yeah, I totally get that. Now, here's another aspect of it, right, where, you know, should just the playoff teams, like, now all of a sudden you're the playoffs are on the line, and now all of a sudden you should have less competition on waivers? Like, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Like, is that fair? Not really, because, you know, you just because someone's out of it doesn't mean that they should – they're eliminated from competing for waiver pickups. I don't know. I don't really see it that way. I think that's fair game. So I'm okay with it because like in Scott Fishbowl, for example, you know, everyone in your league, like I'm part of the last 1,000 that's left right now going into this week. It was so easy. I picked up Grendo for like whatever I have left, which was like $14. Okay. And why? Nice. Because the people who actually made it into that last 1,000, there was only like two people in our particular 12-man league who even made it to the last 1,000. So we had no competition. I had no competition to pick him up.
Oh.
But I think kind of like unfair, I guess. But yeah, it's just how it goes.
For Asadiki, Upper Hand Fantasy, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. And of course, the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast. You can get that on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. All right, Faraz, we're going to jump right into listener questions here. We've got a bunch of them. So let's dive in. And again, if you want to send your questions, do so now at youtube.com/ESPN 1320 and twitch.tv. ESPN1320. You can also give us a call at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. All right, Faraz, from CSSR26, start Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert this week?
This is close, and I'm going to lean Herbert by a hair. I know Herbert hasn't thrown a touchdown in the last 2 weeks, but I think this is going to be a competitive game. Yep. I do think this is kind of dependent on Ladd McConkey playing. McConkey's been limited over the past couple days. We're not going to find out his practice status today until a little bit later. But I do think that if he does play, I think Herbert's going to have to throw the ball. McConkey has a great matchup out of the slot against the Chiefs. They're better against perimeter wide receivers. And I think Herbert can get it done. So I'm going to lean Herbert just a little bit in his way. Kyler Murray could be a potential, you know, at times he's a lineup killer. You know, like he can do well for you, but he can kill you sometimes. So I'm going to stick with Herbert in this one.
Great.
Okay, we've got from John Poles. I'm going to butcher his last name.
Westbrook Akine.
Westbrook Akine or Elijah Moore.
This is actually a good one. Now, Cedric Tillman is not practicing today, so it does not look like he's going to clear the concussion protocol. So I'm going to lean Elijah Moore, especially in PPR leagues. I know the matchup is tough, but the matchup was tough last week too. James Winston threw for 500 yards, and Elijah Moore went over 100 yards. So I'm going to lean Elijah Moore here. Westbrook Akina, you're really depending on that touchdown, but he's been pretty much scoring every single week. I think 8 touchdowns in the last 8 weeks for Akina. His target share has gone up, so he is playable, I think, as a low-end wide receiver 3. But Moore does get a bump with Tillman out. If Tillman was in the lineup, I might lean Westbrook Akina, but there's just so many targets to go around in Cleveland, regardless of the matchup. I'm going to lean Moore.
Our guy, Cousin Pete, weighing in. He has a starter on bye at running back, so he needs to know if he should start Jerome Ford or Gus Edwards.
I don't think I can start Gus Edwards and believe that he's going to do anything for me, to be honest. You know, he might give you 12 carries for like 47 yards, and it's all empty calories, right? There's no targets. There's no touchdowns. When they get to the one, you know, it might be Hassan Haskins who gets the ball there, who, you know, he's kind of had that role. Hopefully not anymore after he fumbled last week. But I'm going to lean Jerome Ford. You know, okay. Jerome Ford has been more effective than Chubb. Chubb doesn't look like the same guy. He is the guy on passing downs as well. So Ford had more carries than Chubb and some targets. So I'm going to go with him.
Great.
All right. Let's dive into this from Spectre707. Tua or Baker, or maybe the Jameis meme?
I was
in between Jameis and Goff last night. I went Goff, and I'm so happy that I did. Brutal. It was a brutal decision to make. This one's equally as brutal. Sauce Gardner is not. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week. I could be wrong. I have to look at the practice report, but it is possible. And without him, I think the Jets defense is a very different defense. I would lean Baker. Mike Evans. There's so many injuries this week, guys. Oh my God, it's so many moving pieces. Yeah. But Mike Evans did practice. He's returned to practice today. He didn't practice the last 2 days. Returned to practice. He should be out there for Baker. Because of that, I'm going to lean Baker Mayfield here. Mike Evans doesn't play. I'm going to go Tua. And I like Tua with no Sauce Gardner, but I'm going to go Baker by a hair over Tua this week.
Okay, we're gonna stick with on the Baker Mayfield theme here. High Times of KG wants to know, Russ or Baker? Russell Wilson's been killing it lately.
I'm still leaning Baker here. I actually have Russ ranked higher than Tua this week. And I do like Russ. I think George Pickens. I absolutely love George Pickens. I'm taking the overs everywhere on him. But I think Baker's just been getting it done all year long. This past week was a little bit, you know, iffy, but I'm going to lean Baker. I think he bounces back.
Sweet.
All right, let's go to Johnny G's question. For his tight ends.
Questions.
Johnny G, what? Like you
My
wrote
man,
a paragraph.
Dude, he said, I've got a two-part question.
The John Dickinson two-part question. For my tight end spot, should I roll with Otten or Disley? For my flex, you going with Pacheco, Moore, or Adunze? What do you think?
I would say I'm leaning Disley over Otten, assuming Mike Evans plays. Ladd McConkey a little bit banged up. I don't know if it's going to affect him too much. Disley had the donut last week, so it doesn't provide a whole lot of confidence for you to start Disley, but it's a great matchup. I think they have to throw the ball a ton. Kansas City has not played tight ends well at all this year. Otten, we've seen a real decrease in targets ever since Mike Evans came back, and Sterling Shepard has out-targeted Otten over the last two games. So I'm going to lean Disley here. It's close, but I'm going in his direction.
Firas Siddiqui, upper hand.
Oh, and the flex. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, Firas Siddiqui, what? What were we saying?
Of Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. Follow him on Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy. Go on.
There it is. For the flex, Pacheco, Moore, or Odunze. You got to keep in mind that, and that Moore was Elijah Moore, right?
Yeah.
So Odunze becomes interesting because DJ Moore hasn't practiced this week. And we Uh-oh. Still haven't heard the Bears practice report just yet. What is so funny?
We have DJ Moore.
Yeah, we have DJ Moore. Yeah, right, exactly.
The Swift, exactly. Kirk, and the Dickers has DJ Moore.
Oh, right. Boy. Hey, James, we're in a tough spot.
I'm actually looking it up like right now if they released the practice report just yet, and they have not. Because DeAndre Swift is also somebody who hasn't practiced the last 2 days, both with the same injury, by the way, quad injury. So keep that in mind. Roshan Johnson's in the concussion protocol. So Travis Homer is like the only running back left standing in Chicago at the moment. Anyway, back to your question, Johnny G. Great name, by the way. If things stand as is, let's say DJ Moore ends up playing. Right, DJ Moore ends up playing, I will play Elijah Moore, especially if this is PPR, over Odunze and Pacheco. I would love to assume that Pacheco's going to get his full workload back, but we just don't know. And I want to see it before I trust him. I think Moore is trustable enough without Tillman to start him. If DJ Moore is out, I'm rolling with Romo Odunze in this matchup, you know, for Chicago. Okay. Over all these guys. So a lot of moving pieces here. I hope that makes sense for you, Johnny G.
My man. Let's go to John Poles. We've already answered. It's fine. DeAndre Hopkins or Jalen Waddle?
I'm going to go D-Hop. Waddle has just been very...
I want no parts of the Jalen Waddle experience.
Yeah.
No.
It just sounds, not this year. Sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Fantasy, though.
Let's get to Rustog. Warren, Etienne, or Edwards at running back if Swift isn't available.
I am going to lean... I think I'm leaning Etienne by a hair. He's been their lead back. The matchup this week isn't so bad against the Titans, and hopefully he catches some balls, you know, from Mac Jones. I'm going to lean Etienne by a hair. I think Warren probably has a little bit of a safer floor. Stop that, Kyle. I think Warren has a little bit of a safer floor here, but I'm going to go Etienne. I think he has a higher ceiling.
For Firas Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, our guy Luke, checking in from the PNW, wants to know, full PPR in his flex, is he going T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr., Romo Odunze, or Jordan Addison? Luke's team is loaded, as you can see.
Yeah. Well, T. Higgins is a wide receiver one. He's a top 10 wide receiver play for me this week. So he's not even in the same category with these other guys. So he's in your lineup no matter what.
Great.
Wow. What about Brian Thomas? Is it Thomas Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the quarterback issue there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it does stink that Trevor Lawrence is out basically for the rest of the season. He is, because he's getting this shoulder surgery. It's unfortunate because Brian Thomas Jr. would have been a wide receiver two rest of season. He really started the downfall once Lawrence got hurt and once he got hurt, right? He had that injury as well. So it kind of stinks because I'm downgrading him to a wide receiver three rest of season. But I do think he's still usable, but I don't think he has anywhere near the same floor or upside that he had with Lawrence.
All right, I'm going to go to Cousin Pete's question here because it pains me to say that I still have Mahomes on my roster. Mahomes versus Chargers or Carr versus Carolina?
Hey, man, give Mahomes some credit. He's been coming through lately. Like, he's been better, right? Or compared to the first few games of the season, he is actually turning into a good fantasy quarterback. Decent one, at least. I'm going to go Mahomes here. I think the Chiefs have one of the highest – actually, not this week, but they opened up high. I think, I'm not mistaken, they opened up relatively high, and then I think they decreased them by points by 1 point or something like that. I'm not sure what that was about. But Mahomes, I'm going Mahomes. There's no way I'm starting Derek Carr. I don't care who he's going up against. They have no weapons. Not doing it.
Done with him.
Punting on Derek Carr.
By the way, Carr is not going against Carolina this week. Carr is going up against the Giants.
Oh.
I think, yes, the Giants.
Same difference.
Yes. Yeah. So true.
What was I wanted to get to that one. Let's go to Russ Dog. Ooh, Xavier Worthy or Deebo Samuel at wide receiver?
It's crazy that I'm going to say Xavier Worthy right now.
Yeah, dude. I want no parts of the Deebo.
Unbelievable. Experience. Look at these ballers at wide receiver that you just said you want no parts of. Deebo and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, Deebo just looks like a shell of himself, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Yeah he's just crazy. Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's wild. It seems like he's sort of cashed in this season. Let's get to this from David Lopez in his flex, Njoku or Pacheco in a PPR league. But that's intriguing.
Mm. It is. But yeah, I'm going to go Njoku here. I mean, he killed it last week without Tillman. I think I'm going to play him again. Pacheco, we just don't know his role. What is his role going to look like? It was 50-50 last week with Kareem Hunt. Snaps, touches, all that. I'm assuming it'll move into Pacheco's favor a little bit more, but the question is by how much. If I knew he was going to get that workhorse treatment, he's obviously a top 10, top 5 potentially, potential running back, every week. But as of right now, especially in PPR, I'm going to go Njoku. What, he had 17 targets last week or something crazy like that?
Yeah.
Go Njoku, man.
Really good player. We've talked a little bit about Isaac Arendo in the free agent auction budget context, but what about as far as playing him? Philip A. wants to know, should he start Isaac Arendo or Kenneth Walker?
I am going to go Arendo here, to be honest. I think I'm a little bit worried about Walker recently, especially with Charbonnet just vulturing him at the goal line lately. Brutal. The Bears are really, really bad against running backs. They're allowing some of the most rushing yards per attempt, the most rushing yards per game to the position. I think Arendo, all he needs is, 16, 17 carries in this game to get it done. We've seen his big playability multiple times this year. And I think, he could potentially, take one to the house. 225, 4.3 speed. I'm going Arendo here. It's kind of sad for me, to be honest with you, to start Arendo over Kenneth Walker. But against the Jets, not sure I'm loving it. I think I lean Arendo.
The other thing with Arendo, just real quick, James, is the Niners have Israel Abanaconda, who just got to the team, and Patrick Taylor, who has 7 carries and got cut when Christian McCaffrey came back. So it's not like they have this stable of running backs that they're going to give carries to. This is the Isaac Arendo show.
Yeah, it's his.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on, James. Sorry.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I just want to say that I think Izzy does fit the offense pretty well. Like,
yeah,
he's a one cut runner, and he has speed. Right, that's really what it comes down to. But I do agree with you.
Shanahan's a trust guy, and he's going to have a week of practice. I just can't imagine he's going to play a ton. Not this week.
Very true.
We also, according to Adam Schefter, just announced that Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner will both be listed as doubtful Sunday. There you go.
Should we pick up Braylon Allen?
There you go.
Oh. 100%. Yeah, Braylon Allen should be. Is he available in your league?
Yeah.
Because if he is, it's crazy.
There it is.
Right, James, I'm picking him up right now.
All right. We're also, while he's picking up somebody, we are, of course, talking to Faraz Siddiqui from Upper Hand Fantasy. Faraz, David Lopez, Arendo, or Bucky Irving? So
I'm going to go Bucky here. Bucky's back at practice today, which was it's a nice sigh of relief. It's not a surprise that he didn't practice the last 2 days because he had a huge ice pack on the hip after the game last week. He came out of the game for a little bit, went back in, and absolutely laid it all out on the line for your fantasy teams. He ended up killing it. I'm going to go Bucky this week pretty easily. Very involved in the receiving game. He's a guy earned early downs, workhorse type of volume last week, even though he played only 50% of snaps with Rashad White, but still, Bucky's going to get the touches. I'm leaning his direction.
I love Bucky Irving, dude.
Yeah.
So good.
He's one of those guys I just want on my fantasy team so I can root for him.
Yeah.
He's so fun to watch.
One of my best calls this preseason was Bucky Irving. One of my best ones. So happy about
that one. You know what? We got you.
I got one right.
One. And that's why we go to upperhandfantasy.com for all of our fantasy needs. All right, we got a few minutes left here. James, I'm just going to rip through the few that are in here. Jalen Waddle or Khalil Shakir in a half PPR league from our guy RJ?
Good to go Shakir. I know it's half PPR, but still, I trust the Bills' offense way more, and he's been getting targets. Going with him.
Eric M. has a quarterback question. Tua or Aaron Rodgers streaming this week?
I think with the fact that Sauce is out, I'm going to go Tua.
Are you fired up for the Aaron Rodgers 3-part Netflix documentary?
I can't wait to not watch it. I'm not tuning in.
Uncle Looney, CD Lamb or BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr. from the Jags?
I'll go CD. Hopefully he plays.
Maxwell Evans, talking quarterbacks, Brock Purdy or Jameis Winston?
I'm going Purdy.
Interesting. All right, very good. Brian,
should we be concerned about the noodle arm? Asking you guys.
No, I think his arm's fine. I think he can't play in precipitation. I think that was a bigger deal than the injury last week.
No, totally. Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure.
Not a starter sit from Brian, but he wants to know, is Amari Cooper going to stop no-showing this week?
I think this is the week where he gets the highest rep participation he's had all season long. He's had full practices all week long, so this is encouraging, and I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I think he could do it this week.
All right, Ramsey wants to know, Mayo boy Will Levis, Drake May, Mac Jones, or Drew Locke? Oof.
What is happening? I think he's just threw out some bad quarterbacks.
I love Drake May.
Drake May's on bye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Okay, cool. I'm going Will Levis. Great. Will Levis this week.
And then this Jaguars. Last one from High Times at KG. How do we feel about Sincere McCormick this week?
He's a pickup.
Stash.
He was stash. He got the most carries last week. He looked very good against the Chiefs defense. It doesn't allow a ton of production to running backs. He had the highest rushing total from any running back against the Chiefs this year. And his head coach said that, what did he have last week in his press conference? 12 carries. Yeah, we need to bump that up this week. That's what he said. So the coach speak is all about McCormick. I think he could potentially be his Zamir White from last season at the end of the year, if you guys remember what happened there.
Terrific. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, upperhandfantasy.com. Follow him on Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy. Subscribe to the podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. Faraz, you're the very best, and we can't wait to talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good weekend. See you later.
See you, buddy. Faraz Siddiqui, again, upperhandfantasy.com. Man, he's the best. Sorry to people if we didn't get everybody's questions in. Scooter wants to know peanut or plain M&M's. It's going to be peanut for me, Coach.
Yeah, man. What are you talking about? That's not even a question, Scooter.
No, this is every year around. I swear to God, this is the dumb. Here's the dumbest thing that I know isn't true, but I still believe it to be true. Aliens did the pyramids. No. When the Christmas peanut M&M's come out and they're just red and green, that's it. They're just regular, normal peanut M&M's, but they just have the red and green ones. Those taste better than the regular peanut M&M's.
Oh, okay.
Can't tell you why. Couldn't, like if you said, what empirical data do you have? None. What's different about them? Couldn't tell you. They just taste better.
That's
a fact.
I'm here for it.
That's a fact. All right. Shout out to Faraz. We're going to shift gears. We'll talk a little bit more 49ers. The 49ers taking on the Bears this week. Big time NFL draft implications in that one. But the 49ers still a slim chance to go win the NFC West. We'll talk about what they need to have happen this weekend. We'll talk about the Aiden O'Connell show with the Raiders. And we will look ahead to the Kings game tonight against the Spurs. Came to a realization during the game last night against the Grizzlies. We'll talk about that when we dive into this Kings-Spurs matchup tonight in San Antonio. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.